You ready to be in class? All right, good. Because you're going to get some homework. So. Whose fault?
True or false?
Oh, true or false? Not quite. Hand this out. All right. You are in class. I am, I'm assuming that you're here tonight, you know, in response to, okay, Lord, I don't just want to sit down. I want to answer the call, right? I mean, I've been kind of telling you this is what it's about. So I'm assuming that everyone in this place here tonight did whatever you could to get here because it's a busy life. And secondly, that you're committed to be here for the next 4 weeks, God willing, right? And so we're going to take attendance here, and I'm going to see who's here every week, and I want to encourage you. You're here tonight. That means that you don't want just to do nothing. You want to serve the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, I got a real simple one for you to start. So everyone, if you do not have a pen or pencil, we need to get you one. So Casey, in the very back room, do you know where they are? Okay, so if you do not have a pen or a pencil, here, raise your hand and let's see how many we need. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, that's not where they are. In the old counting room. Okay, so let me count again. I counted 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5. So we need 5. All right. All right, so this is very easy. So I picked an easy one for you, for your first assignment. You see 3 gauges there, right? You see 3 gauges. Oh, you need more. Okay. All right. Here you go. I don't know who else needs one, but paper, you need one? Oh, pen. Okay. All right, very good. And I think up here you need it. You got one, all right. All right, good. Okay, good. I got a really easy assignment for you. Number one, look at that gauge, and you're going to start. Honesty is very important. Be honest with yourself. Step number one about serving in ministry, ministering in service, is you got to be honest with yourself, right? So here, be real honest with yourself. And you have 3 gauges there. And I want you to draw a line from the dot to a percentage of your enthusiasm. So everybody repeat after me. 1, 2, 3. Enthusiasm. You're rating your enthusiasm about spending time in God's stuff, committing to God kingdom stuff, and just your enthusiasm in general about doing God kingdom stuff. Okay? So that's what you're gauging. And let me just give you a hint that if everyone puts 100%, then we might just have to cancel class and go back to 101. You're not here because you're 101 class. You guys, you've served the Lord. You're mature in the Lord. So you know that no one has, you know, there yet, right? So go ahead. I'll give you just a minute. Your time commitment to God's kingdom, give yourself a percentage. 50% there, I'm 75% there, I'm 25% there. And be honest with yourself. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. It doesn't matter what anybody else is putting. So a time gauge, your time, your commitment to kingdom, to serving God, to the kingdoms of God, and your enthusiasm about doing it. Well, I know all of you are over 0% there. You wouldn't be here tonight, right? just give you about 30 more seconds to just finish that. Okay. Okay, I'm assuming everyone's done. If you're not done, raise your hand. I think it's enough time, right? All right, turn the page around. And let's fill in these blanks, right? Let's just get the base, let's get the base of the lesson today going. What is ministry? I have my own words that I'm going to give you, but I mean, there's many answers, right? Let's just kind of shoot them at me. What is ministry? All right, that's the one that I want you to write down. Service. I know some of you, you know, people think ministry is like a pastor, an apostle, or an evangelist, and it's service. The reason that the U.S. culture calls a pastor or an elder or a deacon or whatever the name is of the leader of the church, the reason they call them ministers is because they're called to service. It's really not that. So we cleared that. Who is called to minister? Number two. Put that. Rose got it. Every one is called to minister. Okay? We're just laying a real basic foundation. Write that down. Who has given you your ministry? Right? God, you want to get more technical? God the Father. God. And God, He, just like He sent Jesus to die on the cross, God has given you your ministry. And I said this on Sunday, I'll repeat it right here. It's not the pastor who gives you your ministry, right? I know a lot of pastors think that they're just going to tell people what to do and where to, you're supposed to work here. Now, you know, you can't go to extremes. Sometimes the pastor just needs help, right? You do whatever you can to help. But there's a difference between helping, filling needs, and then answering the call, right? Your ministry. So I don't want people to think, I'm not called to that, so I shouldn't go do that one to help. Right? Sometimes you can like get extremes, right? I know that when I was learning, I was under Pastor Green for 23 years. I did a lot of stuff that I know is not my calling. I know I'm not strong at it. But I did it, right? And even that process, was there was a reason for it, for me to learn. So please don't, as we go through this lesson, it's not, oh, this is my calling, so I'm only going to do this right here, you know. So we'll get to that. Number four, I guess I need to remove this because it's taking my space. Number four, who is my ultimate role model in how to minister? All right, don't say pastor, don't say worship leader, don't say it's Jesus. Everyone else will let you down. Even the you that are married, even your spouse will let you down, right? Amen. Glory, hallelujah. That was pretty loud over there. But that, just the basic foundation that we wanted to lay here. Okay? Foundational food for thought for all who choose to be active in service ministry. I want to throw you some phrases to get your mind going. The process, this is very important, the process of serving is never more important than the daily process of working your relationship with God. You gotta just grasp that, understand that, live that. That is so important. that the process of serving is never more important than your daily walk. So let me give you an example, right? We'll pick on Michelle since she's here, and I always tell her this, so she won't be surprised when I say it again. Well, maybe not. It might be embarrassing if you don't. Yeah, so let's not. So the process of ministry. So there's the process. There's the, we got to do this. It's got to be done a certain way, a certain order. It got to, you know, we got to get it done. Well, I got to work it. We got to get the people to do this, that. If all of that is happening, right, and people see you working in the ministry, it looks good. And you don't have time to get on your knees and get in the closet and pray, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. And I've told Michelle over and over, you can sing a cappella. It doesn't matter. If I know you're on your knees, your closet time, you're saying, God, take over my life. I'm yours. That's all you really need. Right? It's nice to have the music. It's nice to have the musicians. It's nice. But if you ever lose sight of that, you're getting too busy in the ministry and you're not focusing on the main thing. Jack Hayford said, keep the main thing. Anybody know? The main thing. Jack Hayford is the used to be the president of Foursquare. Keep the main thing. The main thing. So that's what that phrase is all about. So before you go any further into service, your closet time is always most important. So that's clear, right? So you want to make sure to have this. I wrote it in the thing so you can have it to repeat it, pray about it. If you get that out of whack, you're out of whack. If that's not right, it's going to... And let me tell you how this works. You get so busy in the service, in the ministry, I'm doing this for the Lord, I'm doing this for the Lord, and you're not doing this over there, closet time, relationship building with Jesus Christ and His character. What happens is that the enemy will come through the back door because you're not putting on the armor every day, right? You're not putting the armor of God on with that relationship. So he'll come around the back door and start disrupting that service that you're doing. And you won't have the protection. That relationship is the foundation, is the cornerstone, is the protection. So if you ever find yourself so busy in ministry that you're not able to pray every day, it's just life's too busy, that's how the enemy starts working. Right? And that's very important. So like I said, we're building a foundation here. Second, food for thought when you choose to serve in ministry. Success in your service ministry is not your responsibility. Oh, I love this one. It is not your responsibility if you work for something, you do something, and it flops. I know some of you are perfectionists. And that's unacceptable. I will not let this flop. It has to be. It has to work. But let me just kind of put you. It is not your responsibility to succeed as you define it, as the world defines it. It is your responsibility for the daily relationship. That is your responsibility. What happens after that in service? It could flop. It could be successful. It could be. It doesn't matter. If I know you've got this relationship with Jesus Christ and you've died to self and you're saying, Lord, your will be done in my life. If you've got that down, success, failure, it's all good. Okay? You're like, no, Pastor, it has to succeed. Let it go. Pride, right? Let it go. I've heard testimonies from pastors that are doing some works that They failed, and then all of a sudden something happened and God did something and, you know, a lot of people got saved and the kingdom grew. It's not your call, you know, being in the ministry. I remember when I started youth leading from age about 21 to 35, I had years where I would have 2-3 youth and I was just, whatever, I'm preparing. There could have been 50 kids there, there could have been 3, I prepared just the same. Because it didn't matter. Here's something, and I didn't write this one down, but the process itself of not achieving your version of success is a learning process that God wants you to go through. Right? So, right off the bat, hey, you just pray, you read, you seek God, and do the work, show up. Whether you fail or not, who cares? You know what bothers us most about failing is what other people think of us. Who cares? Isn't that the very definition of pride? So, if you let those things go, and don't worry, there's going to be plenty of successes. God doesn't. But the process is worth it all. There's going to be plenty of souls saved. See, that's the thing, is that those are the real successes. Those are the real measures. Those are the eternal things, right? When you get to heaven and there's an account, you know, all the souls that you impacted, that's where it's all at. It's not about numbers, right? So that's exciting. So you get those two things underlined, and I pray you take this home and you read them and know, okay, number one, the serving is not more important than the relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is not your responsibility. As long as you know you have that relationship, everything else is gravy, right, as they say. It's just, okay, Lord, whatever you want. So, look at your gauge. Turn around. Look at your gauge. I have a question. Why is your enthusiasm gauge not at 100%? So you can turn the paper back after you looked at your gauge. Why? There's an underline here we're going to fill. Why is your enthusiasm gauge not at 100%? Anybody want to just take a stab? Okay. Ever-growing process. Good answer. Anybody else? Compared to Jesus Christ, that's a good. That's good, because Jesus is at 100%, right, at all those gauges. Very good. Both. So this is what I want us to focus on, but both of those are accurate. Let's all write down. We are. Still learning. Kind of, Rose hit it there pretty close. To, and I'm going to use this because this is what Jesus said. Write that down. We are all still learning to deny self. Huh? Pride is the reason why you're not 100%, because that's what's fighting this. And, well, let's go on. So, your human pride, actually I wrote that down, brother. So your human, natural human pride, your sinful pride, your human nature, self-will, is what's keeping you from 100%. So the key to service ministry is to be willing to go through the process of learning how to... So the next underline, fill that in. So the key to service ministry is to be willing to go through the process of learning how to deny self. The key word there is willing to go through the process. willing to go through the process. Why am I using the word willing to go through the process? Anybody? Got freedom of choice? Absolutely. What's that? The desire has to be there, right? I'm sorry, the meeting? Right. Very good. That willing is also admitting you're not there. Right? You're willing to go through this process of denying self. Yes, sir? Yes, go ahead. If you're a fan of the San Antonio Spurs, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of sports fans are willing to deny a lot of self, like their wife, their family, to their church. So there's definitely a correlation between that passion and the passion we want for the kingdom. Yeah, yeah. So it's good. Boy, you just confirmed something right now, because the very next line, he's getting ahead of me. Oh, actually, I'm going to skip one. God doesn't want to, you said the word kill, right? God doesn't want to injure your pride. He wants to what? Yeah. Just go right after the jugular. He doesn't want to just injure your pride. God is in the process of killing it. Are you willing to go through that process? Oh, I didn't know I was going to get into that kind of message tonight. That's pretty. Jesus said, you're going to follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. That's what this all means. And I believe that God has kind of tugged your heart to like, okay, but it's just knowing that you're called, and there's really, I don't mean to be blunt again, but there's really nothing you can do about it. You're called to minister, to serve. It's really not an option. You're called. So let's go from there. Besides Jesus, who is perfect? Let's fill that in. That's an easy one, right? No one. So just write the word, no. I don't know if it's one word or a dash or no one. I don't know. Just put no one in there. How do you spell that? No one. Nadie. No. It says besides. Oh, okay. I should have said beside the Godhead. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. But I meant the God. I meant God. Besides God. Yeah. I understand. I stand corrected. But we're going to assume that I put besides God, who is perfect. All right, no one. And then he doesn't want to injure by. So you fill those in. All right, let's move on. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. Or you don't have to go there. I can read it real quick. Matthew 17, 24. Oh, wait. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, I got the wrong scripture. I think it's... Someone can Google it real quick. The scripture where Jesus says deny, you must deny. Oh, here it is. 18. No, I don't. Yeah, someone can Google it and find it for me. Where Jesus says the scripture deny himself. I'm sure it's here somewhere. I just wrote the wrong one down. 16:24.
Yeah.
Thank you. Typo. Make sure you fix that on your worksheet. 16:24. It says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Yeah, go ahead. So disregard, lose sight of his interest. I think that kind of makes the point. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, lose sight of your interest. Disregard your will. You get the picture, right? Then... Right? Because we will all die unless the Lord comes. In John chapter 12, verse 24, I'm just going to read two more scriptures. I won't do too much, but let's read that just to get some biblical foundation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into eternal life. Now Jesus in this little statement was talking about his death, right? He was about to die, but he needed to die so that the fruit could be produced. But this is parallel to your death, right? Remember water baptism, what it signifies? When you go in the water, you die. And you come up out of the water, you're new in new life, right? New in Christ. So in order for your ministry to produce fruit, there's got to be death in what Jesus is talking about. Your interest, your self-will, your self-pride, your human nature, whatever, however you want to define it, right? For there to be that fruit, right? And fruit is not measured by what we consider success. Remember that. fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of His work, the fruit of you learning, you know, all of that stuff, right? Just the process. So we know something must die for the fruit to come. And this is what this is all about. Dying to self, denying self. And if you came tonight, you're right. I want to do, Lord is tugging my heart. I don't want to just be, you know, go through the motions. I want to find my calling. I want to answer that path, that call. Then you're getting the bare bone truth about, okay? Because I want you to get this, because if you do it this way, you'll see it so much clearer than if you try to do it your way. Because a lot of Christians, some of you in this room, have tried to do it your way, figure it out, and it gets like quicksand, like wilderness. And you younger people, and still, you know, early 20s and 30s and younger teens, we don't want you to go through that quicksand stuff. Because there's so much good fruit when we get it early. So much good. So that's the passion of why we're here, to answer our calling. But you got to lay this foundation. And last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Why do I stand in jeopardy every hour? Why? To see the rejoicing that I see in you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And because of all of this, I die daily. What Paul was saying here is, every time I'm doing this service, I'm pretty much dead. They're trying to kill me. I've chosen this life. And they were after his life at this time. He knew what he was talking about. They were trying to kill Paul. He was in prison and all this, but somehow he would get out. It wasn't his time yet. But he knew. But he says, I rejoice that you have Christ Jesus. And I know I'm dying daily to the flesh, my life's in danger. And he was okay with it. That's the level of commitment. I don't believe, and no one knows God, but the bigger plans. But we're not in that. Praise the Lord, we live in a country where we can serve God. Right? There are missionaries all over the world, people in Iran, Iraq, China, who they get killed for serving God, for saying they're Christians. And they're in the situation that Paul was in. And we're not. Give God glory for that, and let's do the work, right? And I don't think we appreciate that enough sometimes. But it's worth it all to serve Him. So based on these three scriptures, next underlying, denying self is not an option. Let's write that down. Denying self is not an option. Not an option. Denying self is not an option. And that's the last underline. So your homework, you have done your homework ahead of time. Good job. I'm a good teacher. Although you're going to get homework at the end, so don't smile too much. But it's for a good thing. Okay. The cold, hard facts about denying self. And we're laying the foundation, right? Service ministry. I want to answer my call. It all begins with this concept of being willing to deny self and go through the process of dying. Yes, Eloy. Yeah. Yes. Your self will. And we'll journey through this a little bit, but here, you touched on it. Let me get to it. You have a carnal will. And being able to see the difference between your carnal will and your spiritual, God-given will. It takes an effort and honesty. Because people think that if their will is not sin, then that must be God's will. Your goodness without Christ in the middle of it is as filthy rags, right? It's enmity against God, your carnal will. If God is not the foundation of your decision-making process, then your will lead you astray. Right? That's black and white. And I'm going to cover some of that right here, so we're going to get deeper into that. Dying to self means simply a mental check on your determination not to live for yourself, but to live for Christ. So denying self, dying to self, is just a understanding. A understanding. So today, you don't have to leave today like, okay, I got it all. I figured it all out. My will, God's will, I got it figured out. Perfect. It's an understanding that there's a difference. Just that understanding. Just you saying, I understand that my will lead me astray, and I got to be careful. Lord, lead me. If you don't do the Lord, lead me thing, and you're just doing good things in the church and doing that, that's not what we're talking about. It's, Lord, what is your will? Lead me, guide me. And so it is a really self-analyzation, honesty kind of thing. Leaving pride behind. It's not what I want. It's what the kingdom of God wants. Believe me, when you start surrendering and you start lining up, you're going to have fun answering the call. It's going to be joyful, fulfilling. It's not, you know, a lot of teenagers, and when you all were teenagers, you probably thought the same thing. I don't want to serve the Lord. I'm not going to have any fun. Right? Anybody ever thought that? I'll do it later when I could have all my fun now. You see, what happens, though, is that when you surrender at any age, He changes what you define as fun. And that's the truth. So, denying self, all you got to do is say, I am determined. I understand. It's a mental check. I'm determined. I'm not going to follow my will. Lord, help me to understand what that is. Just the fact that you understand that, you're on good ground. You're headed in the right direction. All right? In order to be in God's will, we have to be out of our own will. Our carnal will is enmity against God. Romans 8:7-8. It says this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Your carnal mind, and how do you define that? Here's the best way I define it. My thought process without considering God is enmity against God. My thought process without God, what's your will in this? It'll fight against God. You start making your own decisions without God, confirm. God, lead. God, okay, if I'm not feeling confirmation in the Spirit, I'm not going to do it. You see, having that attitude, that's what begins to open our eyes. And then you'll start learning. He confirms you're at peace. That's the direction to go. It's only people who are willing to die to pride can grasp and execute what you're hearing today. If you're like, no, I'm going to, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make sure that your will lines up with mine and I still want to do what I want to do. And if you're trying to figure God out to make it line up to what you want, it's not going to work. You'll be like quicksand. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing to do it. So in order, your old nature is total rebellion against God. So you see how we're building this. It's not gray, it's black and white. Unless we are absolutely, and you're following me there, right? I'm just going line by line. Unless we are absolutely convinced that our carnal will destroy us, we will continue to listen to it. You have to be absolutely convinced. Your own carnal will, your own decision-making process without God, that all of that will lead you astray. And if you don't believe, if you don't just believe that with all your heart, you will listen to it. I'm okay. How many Christians? I don't do that. I'm not a murderer. I'll be just fine. No. It's black and white in this area. We will never be able to die to ourselves unless we are convinced that serving our flesh is totally unprofitable. Are you convinced that your own self-carnal will is unprofitable, it'll lead you astray, it's quicksand, it's wilderness? You got to be convinced that I don't want that. Go ahead, Rose. The church and the... Yeah. Right. Right. And a lot of that is blindness and fogginess about truth because we got too much of our will, ourselves, still in our... We can't see it. A lot of that, exactly what you're talking about, is because we're not yet old life gone. Because when you believe me, when you surrender your will, you will start seeing so clear, more and more. Okay, oh, God confirmed that. Oh, okay, oh, and you'll have this peace. And then you start working in the ministry and in your calling, in whatever service that is, and you'll be like, wow, this feels right. And then your eyes just start opening, and all of that stuff becomes, like, solved, because you can see it now. You can see that I got to not conform to this world. You can see it, you can see it. But I like that. Let me repeat it because we're recording, so you know, in case you want to hear this later. But I want this phrase to come out. Christ bought me, so I belong to Him. Using that mindset is like, it's not our life to keep. Right? He bought us with the precious blood. So I like that angle. It's a good angle to cover. We recognize serving self is no good. So I'm going to read the next one. We need to humble ourselves by stating that serving ourselves is not good. In a sense, this is what dying to self essentially means. We recognize serving self is not good, so we choose to serve the Spirit. So again, it goes to this concept. We need to recognize that serving our own will leads to destruction, confusion. So we must come to love the Spirit's way. That's what I meant by... When you begin to surrender and deny self, you will fall in love with God's calling, the spiritual calling you have. You will fall in love with that. And I felt that personally as I was, you know, out of college, and then I started doing youth ministry. And then in youth ministry, I was very comfortable because I wasn't the pastor. I didn't have the responsibility and the stress. And, you know, it was awesome. You know, just, oh, Lord, oh, wow, someone got saved. Praise the Lord, you know. Oh, it was awesome. And Pastor, can you pray for that? Oh, great. And I was like, this is good. I don't need to do anything else. That's great. I've got checks up in heaven in the box. And then, boom. It was, I don't need 90% of you being comfortable. I need 100% serve. So, and that was the point where I was like, oh, Lord, okay. And, of course, during that same time, I was going through something really hard. That I was going really hard with family stuff, and so it all kind of came together to, like, on your knees crying, Lord, I surrender, and boom, next thing you know, it was like, wow, I love this. It's the calling, right? So Inez, you wanted to say something. Yes, we're dead. We're already dead. It's not. Yeah. Goes along with Paul's Roman 8, where he struggled with two natures. And Paul is saying, like, oh, I want to do what's right, but my, yeah. So, perfect illustration. Let me finish these last three, and we'll conclude. The Christians need to acknowledge the flesh and its prideful will. Do you acknowledge today? Do you confess? Right? You're in trial. Do you confess that you have a prideful will? That's big step. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Do you know you have a problem? That's what I'm. That. Do you know you have a pride problem? Yes. Yes, I do. That's what I like about our church. Yeah. You guys are like, oh, I'm still having problems with this, but I'm going. Like, you have churches where nobody would say everybody's supposed to be holy, right? It's like, nobody can confess anything, because then everybody will go talk about the person that confessed, and it becomes a big, be real. Just be real and be determined to surrender your will to God's will. And second to the last, when we die to self, we are no longer obsessed with self. That's good to take home, because That's pride. Dying, the last one. Dying to self actually makes life easier, because we can be content even when we are overlooked by man. You don't have to worry about success, failure, what man thinks. Who cares? Right? It doesn't matter. That's it. I want to kind of pray and do a conclusion, and then give you about 5 minutes to start the homework assignment. Because next week, I'll tell you after we finish. I want to dig into the calling. Is it that hot, Rose? Let me see what the thermometer says, because I hope they're not broken or anything. It is hot. No, it says it's okay. So it's the conviction. Well, 73 in here, so we need to cool it down a little bit more. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that this first lesson, Lord, about the beginning of serving and ministry and denying self, digging deep into that, I just pray, Lord, that you seal this in our hearts, that you bring us back next Tuesday and ready to go and take the next step. What is a calling? What is my next step in this service ministry? What am I supposed to do, Lord? What's the next step, Lord? So that's our heart. So I pray, Lord, that you just seal this in our hearts and that, Lord, we want to make a difference in your kingdom, and that's what this is all about. So we just ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so let me just conclude and then give you some other assignment here. On Sunday, there was a word that came forth, not to be afraid, to be uncomfortable. And I remember these things, and I try to pray about them, and because I believe that God does speak to us through the gifts and interpretation and a word from the Lord. So I want to commend you tonight, because many of you took a step, an uncomfortable one. Said, okay, I'm tired, I'm busy, but you're like, something's bigger than me is telling me this is my step. So I want to just commend you. You acted on that uncomfortable step. So now that you've done that, don't just stop. Go, right? Commit to next week. Commit the next 3 weeks. Commit. Because I really believe that God's going to lay a clearer picture for you on how you're going to answer this call. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What is he going to do? So you took the uncomfortable step. I encourage you to keep coming. This concept of denying self, dying to self, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Know that you have learned about the most important key to service ministry, which is the willingness to go through this process. The willingness to go through this process of denying self, understanding it, admitting it. So next week, we're going to look at a different area, different areas in which you can minister using the gifts. And here comes a little home. We're going to do the first five together. So there are 100 questions. Wait. Denying self. So this is like the first real test about exercising. But we're going to do the first few together. And you don't have to do it here, by the way. And let me say this. If you come every week for the next 3 weeks, this is the only one you're going to have to do that's, take home. All the rest will be in here. Because actually, once you do this, it sets up the next 2 weeks. So this is like the foundation of the next 2 weeks. All right, so everybody has a copy. Okay. Two. Okay, here you go. One. Two. There you go. Three more. Okay. Give one to you, Casey, back there. Okay, so bear with me. Don't take off on me yet. Just going to do the first five together. No, we can do the first 10 together. It won't take that long. These are very easy. But let me give you the instructions real quick. Okay, you're going to read the statement, and you're going to say, one means, that's me. That's me. And two means, I can see myself, yeah. And three is, very rarely, that's not me, really. And four is like, absolutely not. I hate that with a passion. I don't like that. It's not me. All right, so you got an idea. One means that's me. That's my personality. That's who I am. And four means absolutely not. And then you have two and three for range. Okay, so let's go through it. Now, what I'm going to do is you're going to answer these questions. You're going to turn them into me. You can turn them into me on Sunday, or you can turn them into me prior to next Tuesday. So on Sunday would be good so that I can grade them and I can get it all prepared for next Tuesday. So it's going to take some of you denying self to get this done, but I believe in you. But so let's go. Answer this first one. I'm very good at organizing and coordinating activities. I love that. Then you put a one. If you're like, I kind of like that, but you know, I don't dream about it at night, you know. Then it's a two. And if you're like, oh, I hate organizing, and if you're just like, absolutely not, four. Just put it on the right on the left, right here, right next to the number. Right next to the number would be really, really nice. That way I can read them when I put them on my sheet, my other sheet, I can read them really good. So right on the left side there. I'm sorry? Yeah, I need your names, obviously, because when we're done with this, you're going to have a good idea of what your strengths and weaknesses are in ministry. So, number two, I would be eager to start a new church or a new ministry endeavor. Some people, hey, I can see myself doing that. That's a two, right? I can see myself doing that. That's a two. That's what I'm called to do. That's a one. Or you could be like, I'm never leading a church. That's a four. So, or maybe if God wills it, all right, I'm open to it. That's a three. You kind of get the idea, right? All right. Is everyone done with number two? Still thinking? Don't cheat now back there, Nina. Don't copy. She's copying. She's like, you're called to do this. No, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to tell the other person what they're called to do. Number three, people look to you for help in figuring out right from wrong. Who comes to you? Are people like, hey, can you give me advice on this? All right. You know, you got your cousins, brothers. Give me advice. Or if you're the person that they never go to for advice, then that wouldn't be you, right? And that's okay. It's not good or bad. So people like to help, to look to you for help on figuring out right from wrong. Okay? Think about it. If you're that person that they call every time, hey, I've been thinking if I should do this or that. That you hear that? If you hear that a lot from people, that's probably more like you, one or two. You need a pin? Okay. Number four, I have a strong desire to share faith with unbelievers. All right? If you're that kind of person who just the topic comes up and, hey, Jesus, He saved me, and you don't have any problem sharing that and you're just sharing it, that's one or two. If you're more like, I get really embarrassed, then you're not one or two, right? You're three or four. Right? Now, there's Christians that they're not called to go talk to people about salvation. I mean, that's okay. Please don't look at this because everybody's like, I'm supposed to like to talk about Jesus. No, some people just aren't comfortable talking to other people. And that's that. So please, separate the two. It's not about we're all supposed to talk to people. But if you got that natural ability to just share about Jesus, then that's a one or two. If you don't, then that's a three or four. Number five. People often come to you with their personal problems for counsel. If that's you, ¿qué dijo? That's not true, Eloy. I know people call you, and you don't tell me till later, so I know. So people often come to you for their personal problems. We'll do up to 10, and we'll stop, and then you got to do these on your own. The next one, number six, you trust God for great things. So if you're the kind of person who's like, God's going to take care of it, and it comes easy for you, that's a one, right, or two. But if you're like, Lord, are you really going to do that? And you're kind of like, that's a three or four. Because God's given everybody different measures of different things, right? It's not. Yeah, you could be low on this one and be real high on something else that you're called to do. So, So what I'm saying is I don't want to receive this with somebody that has ones all the way down. Because then I know you didn't do it right. Number 7, I enjoy giving to those that are in serious financial need. If you're in a situation where you, like, I find pleasure in helping people, that's 1 or 2 for you. If you don't find yourself in that situation, that's 3 or 4, right? That's just not in that situation. Not have the desire. You can ask a question if you have a question. The money has to come out of the pocket, is that what you said? Oh, well, you measure that however you want. But let me say something about that. Let me say something about that. You cannot have money and give money. You had a desire to help somebody. So I don't know. I don't think that. So if you're thinking that I better put a 4 because I don't have the money to give, I don't think that's the question. Yeah. So I'm glad you said that, just to clarify. Does that make sense? If you have never found yourself helping somebody financially, no matter what your economic status is, then you're probably not a 1 or 2. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's... because you'll have another gift that will explode and impact the kingdom, and that's okay. Number 8. God places people on your heart who are ill, so you can pray for them. So if you have this thing where someone is ill and it's like you can't let it go, I gotta pray. You know how when people say, "Hey, someone's ill, I'll pray for you." There's the "I pray for you" statement, and you actually never pray. And then there's the "I pray for you" statement, and you actually like, "I'm gonna take time, Lord." Right? There's a difference. So if you find yourself like, "Oh, I'll pray for you," and you don't quite get to it, then you don't have that, right? And that's okay. Right. Yeah. No, don't pray for me later. Pray for me right now. Yeah. No, but some people really do pray later. And some people just, those are words to say. So you got to be really honest, right, with your heart. You're like, "I don't want pastor to see that. I don't like to pray for people." No, don't worry, because then you might be a teacher or you might be something else, right? You might be 9. Others know that they can call upon you to assist them. Car breaks down. I know I can call that person. Are you that person? I can honestly tell you that I would rank very low on this one. I don't think when people have issues, like, they can call me unless it was a pastoral. But I'm not talking about that. Right? I'm talking about just generally. When people have problems, we're not just talking about spiritual. Are you like the person they can count on? I'm not a grandpa yet. Is that why? Last one. It's easy for me to make strangers feel welcomed. That's something I didn't start very well at all when I was younger. But over the years, I've developed that. But some people can't. With strangers, it's like, "Oh, hello, bye." That's it, right? That's all you have. So you're not a 1 or 2. You're a 3 or 4. And some people see a stranger, they can start talking to them like they knew them all their life. That's a 1 or 2. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. I'm asking you to commit to doing this as part of the denying yourself process that we talked about today. So you might want to do this tonight before the week gets really going. And I'm going to ask you to give them to me on Sunday. If you absolutely don't get them to me on Sunday and I get it on next Tuesday, I'll be able to work with it. Okay, I'll give you a little break. But if you can't turn them in sooner, that gives me less homework to do. And grading them. All right? 14. I have seen impossible situations altered through your prayer. So basically, you've noticed, and it's noticeable to you when God answers prayer. Like something happens, you know, I know that was God. And some people are like, oh, praise the Lord, you were just fortunate. You know, maybe you don't give naturally, oh, it was a great miracle. And some people are just like, you know, more pragmatic, like, oh, that was good and it worked out. So basically, you are, let me read it, have seen impossible altered through your prayer. So basically, you pray, you see something, and right away, you know, I was God. You're not like, well, maybe it was God, maybe it was just supposed to happen. No, you know, you don't have any doubt, like, your automatic reaction is God did it, He intervened, He's done. And I think that leads to like a measure of faith, a measure of that. Yes. Yeah, I remember that. You, right. Yeah, good. Okay, good example. Well, I don't want to hold you any longer. These should be done by 8:15. I just held you a little longer because of the homework. But go and deny yourself.